Do you remember the Indiana Jones movies? Yes, some of you do. Excellent. Harrison Ford. I may look dreamy after this, just thinking about that. But Harrison Ford plays a tenured archaeological professor who travels the world looking for cultural treasures. And what is he armed with? A bullwhip, a fedora, a satchel, a leather jacket, a sense of humor, a deep knowledge of many ancient civilizations and languages, and one horrible fear: snakes. In the 1981 movie, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Indiana Jones throws his torch down into the Well of Souls, and he finds that the floor is moving. It's moving because it's covered in snakes. His sidekick, Sulla, confirms asps. Very dangerous. Very helpful when you're afraid of snakes, isn't it? And so Indiana Jones lies back on the edge of the Well of Souls and says, snakes. Why'd it have to be snakes? Well, anyone preaching today might say the same thing. In fact, Alex said to me, how are you going to preach on snakes? Glad it's you, not me. I'm just reading. Well, in one of his classic teachings, the Buddha tells his disciples that understanding his instructions is like picking up a poisonous snake in the wild. It's all too easy to get bitten. And this is the case with our scripture as well. If you pick it up the wrong way, it's easy to get bitten. In fact, says the Buddha, that it's entirely impossible to misinterpret his teaching to mean the opposite of what he actually intends. Not just 10 degrees or 20 degrees off what he means, but 180 degrees, right off target, the reverse of what he actually meant in his teaching. If you pick up a snake in the middle of its body, it can easily turn and bite you. But if you get a forked stick and you pin the snake behind its head and pick it up just behind the jaws, you'll be safe and sound. Handy for your next trip, isn't it? And so it is with understanding the Buddha's teaching. It's not simply a matter of hearing the teaching or being able to recite it. It's about holding it the right way. And so it is for the scriptures today. It's where we pick them up and how we hold them that makes all the difference to what we're hearing. The relationship of Nicodemus and Jesus is one of those stories. Because we pick it up today, you don't even know that this reading is about Nicodemus unless you read the verses that come before. It's all about the context. Where do we grab the scripture? And shortly after Jesus' provocative disturbance of the peace into the Jerusalem temple, Nicodemus comes to see Jesus at night, absolutely terrified. He's a religious leader, well respected, but he's begun to suspect that Jesus has indeed come from God, and he wants to learn more, but he must not be caught doing so. Now, at the end of the Gospel of John, we know that Nicodemus comes to wrap the dead body of Jesus in spices and cloth. And that suggests that over the time of the Gospel, he's become a disciple. But in this initial meeting, Nicodemus is tentative and curious and afraid. And he has questions about what Jesus means about being born anew or born from above. And today's passage is about Jesus' response to Nicodemus. And so we don't read it, but it's important to know that's what Jesus is talking about. So in this late night, clandestine conversation between two people, Jesus realizes that Nicodemus is actually earnest. He wants to know. He's not just being critical. He's not trying to trap Jesus or set him up like so many others before him. He actually wants to know. And so this gospel that we hear today, Jesus hearkens back to Moses. And he uses the image of the snake on the pole, which shows in a concrete way that people must respond to the call of God and not just question it. They had the law, but they had not adhered to it. And so the snakes were a symbol for them that they must look and focus on something else. So Jesus takes this passage to Nicodemus and communicates it to him, that tell him that the time has ended for him to stop fussing, going to and fro about what he should believe and what he should not believe, and to stop questioning whether God will send the Messiah. Because it's beyond Nicodemus. It's beyond us. It is up to God in God's time to do those things. And Jesus was assuring him that you don't have to wait for the serpents. You don't have to wait for that, because the Son of Man will be raised up whether you wonder or not, whether you do anything or not, it's going to happen. And Jesus reminds Nicodemus that whether he questions or not, Jesus himself will be raised up, and he will draw all of us, all of humanity, to God. And when that happens, everything changes. And we know that because we're sitting here today. We know that because when we look upon Jesus raised before us, our lives change. That's what Nicodemus was seeking. He wanted to have a sense of what Jesus was all about. He was righteous and really wanted to know. And all he really needed to know was that God so loved the world. So Jesus changes Nicodemus's focus. Like the snake, if we focus on it in the wrong place, if we pick it up, it'll bite us. If we focus on the scripture in the wrong place and we don't read the whole context, it will bite us. Because if you didn't know that story and you just read today that everyone else is essentially going to hell unless they believe in Jesus, that is kind of biting for many of us. It is kind of exclusionary in a horrible way. But when we read the whole story, we understand that it's not meant that way at all. It's meant to change our focus. So where we grasp scripture, where we grasp the snake, where we grasp Jesus' words, and where we grasp life matters. And how we hold it matters. And how we respond to it matters. In the epistle today, it talks about the people who have focused on the darkness. And sure enough, when they focus on the darkness, they lead lives of darkness. You all know what this is like. I don't know about you, but when I was being taught to drive, I remember I was doing my driver's ed course, and then my dad would take me out practice driving. I'm sure it was absolutely terrifying for him. But when we were driving one day, I remember him saying, "Where are you looking?" And I said, "What do you mean, where am I looking? I'm looking at the road." He said, "No, you're not." I said, "How do you know I'm not looking at the road?" He said, "Because you're veering off the road. You're looking at the fence post. If you were looking at the road, you wouldn't be driving towards the fence post." And I'm like, oh. And it taught me something very important. It's true, isn't it, in life. Where we look is where we will go. Look to the fence post, you'll drive straight for the fence post. And sure enough, I did that not long after that with my friends. They wanted to know where I'd lived when I was a child, and so we drove along with my friends, and I went, "We lived over there." And I drove straight into the ditch. Well, that is what we're hearing today. Be careful where you focus. Be careful where you hold things, and be careful how you hold them. Because whatever that is where you will go. It's easy in our lives to be bitten by the darkness. It's easy for us to focus on it. It's easy for us to be consumed by it because there's so much of it. But Jesus assures us today that despite our hard times, despite whatever we focus on, God is still there. God lifts up his Son for us to say, "This is your focus. I will do this no matter what you do. I will raise for you love and life and justice and kindness and a way to go, a way to follow." It's too easy for us to find justification in Scripture for whatever we want. to take one line or one word or one phrase or one story and to use that to condemn others or to make them try and believe what we believe. And so we must hold Scripture in its entirety, in its fullness, and carefully, so it doesn't bite us and everyone else that we're actually trying to use it for good with. And it's too easy to focus on the negative in our lives, in our hearts, in our work, sometimes in our church. Instead, we need to see the negative as part of our whole experience and to hold it with love and with care and to live through it and not just be consumed by that. So may we grasp Scripture and life in the place that gives us the most perspective. And may we hold it with care and honor and gentle earnestness, like Nicodemus, so that we can live into the grace of a changed world that Jesus holds up in front of us. And may we look and honor that rather than worry about snakes. Why did it have to be snakes? Amen.